everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
The radio.
It is a radio station, and on this radio station, we have a show where we talk about video games.
It's about video games.
And we really like video games. A lot.
Nope.
We don't like video games at all. Goodbye, folks. That's it. That's our show today. Yeah.
30 seconds in.
Yeah. That's our commercial.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah. So we actually do love video games, and we play a lot of video games, and we ended up playing a couple of new video games. Well, new to me, and new to both of us.
Technically, yes, also new, because it did just come out.
It's one a remaster.
It's a different game that we played.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the game that Megan played extensively first, and then we'll get into the other game.
I haven't gotten extensively. I still have to play more of it, but...
How many hours have you put into it? 20?
Not 20.
Like 15.
Yeah, okay.
Not 20, but like close to it.
I've thrown some of my valuable time at it. We'll say that. And it's not unfun, so I'll say that.
So the game we're talking about is...
Final Fantasy XII, Age of the Zodiac? Zodiac Age.
Yeah, I don't know. It's specifically the PlayStation 4 remaster. Is that what this is?
It is. It is exactly what that is. It is Final Fantasy XII, and it's... You had recommended this to me last week because I had not...
I'm so influential by video games.
You pointed out that I like a particular flavor of RPG, and it's not always top-tier RPG. It's always mid-tier to lower mid-tier.
Sorry, Final Fantasy XII fans. I'm saying that your game is... And I'm not saying that this is a bad game, but I also say that I notoriously like games that aren't the best. Not to say that this isn't a good Final Fantasy, because I think it's a pretty good Final Fantasy.
You know what? This game gets a lot of credit from me in that it's highly customizable. You don't have to wait to unlock different voices, so you can either have your Japanese or your English voice right off the hop. And I have the subtitles on, and the subtitles I find are actually pretty clear, because they're at the bottom where it's in a widescreen format. You can read them pretty easily. They're not blending into the surrounding.
We love subtitles.
We do, because sometimes it's just that much easier to follow a story when you can read the story as well not deal with people's goofy pronunciations of things.
Well, I was like, it's like a weird scientific fact that you will have more clarity in hearing people if you're reading what they're saying as well. Like,
yeah.
Or alternately, you can manipulate things. for people to hear certain things based on what is read. But it is helpful.
So I am highly enjoying this so far. I have to be in the first quarter still.
Yes, you are.
I must be very, very early in the game, so I can't even give it a proper review except for what I've experienced so far, which is...
You're a good chunk.
I'm well on my way. I am past all the lame beginning parts of every RPG where you have to learn the mechanics and
it's slow.
You hate your main character because they're boring and annoying.
And you only get one character.
For the longest time. But this is... No, I'm actually having a grand old time making my way through Final Fantasy
XII. Yeah, so I personally... 12. Yeah, I played this game when it came out or whenever. Like, I played it for the PlayStation 2. And so I can definitely see interesting differences. Like, it does look nicer. I do appreciate the Japanese voice option because I can 100% see people being annoyed with stuff. But... Well, I have a soft spot for these English, specifically, like, there's your main character, Vaughn, and his English voice is very okay. I feel it's kind of typical, right?
He's your everyman. You're supposed to be able to put yourself into his position in this story.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In Final Fantasy, you have that, but also your main character is also supposed to be interesting or, like, have some sort of, like... something. But Yvonne, I feel, is a little boring.
Like, I would have much rather have stayed with the original character you play with, which is his brother, who is no longer.
Yeah, who gets, like...
Spoilers,
I feel
sorry.
It's not spoilers, because it's in the first, like, 15 minutes of the game that, and it's sort of one of those setup things, and you're like, this is set up so I learn how to play the game, but also I never see this character again.
Do not get emotionally attached to any characters in the first half hour of any RPG.
Yeah,
in fact,
that's legit.
Don't get emotionally attached for the first hour.
I guess it depends.
Depending on the writing.
Depending on what game.
Yes.
But this game is interesting, and I don't know why I played it for as long as I did as a kid, because I played, I want to say I got about 2/3 of the way through it before I decided to just go around and, like, kill monsters instead of actually proceeding with the story. It's one of those things where I'm very close to beating it, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to not for, like, another 10 years. See you later.
Did you actually beat the game?
No. So I have no idea how the game ends. I have an inkling based on how Final Fantasies go and how this one goes. But I got pretty far.
This will be the one that ends tragically.
I don't know about that, Megan. There are other ones that aren't, like, they end on a very bittersweet note. And it's like, did this happen or is this good? Someone that you loved as a character is still gone and you'll never see them again unless we release a video game to rectify that later.
Which
is fine with me because I needed that to heal my heart.
Which, speaking of that, Final Fantasy VII Remastered is coming out this month as well.
And I'm talking about Final Fantasy X 2, but that's okay, Megan.
Oof.
Hey, you know what? I feel there's a large population of people who actually enjoyed Final Fantasy X 2, and it sort of got a bad rap, but it gave everybody what they wanted, and I loved it.
Well, and that's actually coming out later this year as well.
For the Switch.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to pick up 7 for the Switch when it comes out. Usually these games aren't too rough when they're a remaster. They're not going to charge the full $80, hopefully.
For a remaster of
Final Fantasy VII?
I would assume not. It's probably going to, like, that's another game that I almost beat again, and I put, like, literally 100 hours into it. I know this because I got it for Steam, and Steam tells you how much time you've wasted on something.
That's true.
It did, but I always look at that, and I was like, I was very close to beating that game, and then I was like, I put 100 hours into this. I'm going to play something else now.
We'll see how this goes, and then I'll consider the possibility of maybe tentatively picking up 10 and 10-2.
I like 10. I like 10-2. They're definitely Final Fantasies, though, where they follow that, what is it, RT? What is the?
RPG.
RPG, but no, but like the attack thing, the
turn-based?
Yep, there we go. Turn-based attack.
Trying to think real-time strategy?
Kind of,
because we don't play tactics games
about that. I can maybe play Risk, but I'm not going to say it's going to be any calculations going on there.
Oh, no risks.
I like Final Fantasies. I did like 12. Like, I didn't. I played it for a really long time, obviously for a reason. I like the gameplay. Like, it is a little faster than other Final Fantasies, I'll say. And this gives you a hilarious speed-up version where it actually speeds up everything.
Everything. That's nice if you don't like just dragging through a dungeon. You're like, I've been here for 3 hours. I fought 5 battles because this thing is too big, and I'm getting tired, and I want to go away now. No, you actually get a button. You can press one of your buttons to make yourself zoom.
It's interesting because it's a fast forward of everything and not just you. And I guess that's how they have to account for, like, you know, you just might want to attack things, but you just want to go fast.
And that's a cool system this thing has, is that you can actually set up your other characters to do certain actions depending on what's going on in the battlefield. So if someone's HP, your hit points drop to below 30%, someone's going to heal you or try to, so long as they don't have an existing command to attack the closest enemy.
Yeah, and I want to say, like, this, maybe they introduced this in Final Fantasy X a little bit, whereas you could customize your characters, because I do remember that to an extent, but this is like, yeah, this, it feels a lot like Dragon Age. Maybe Dragon Age came out around then, to be honest.
Where you could just set up your tactics.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically, it's called Gambits. It's the same thing. It's, you can basically customize, it's like coding characters how you want them to react to stuff, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it's handy, especially because in this, it's faster, and you don't want to have to stop at every character and be like, attack, attack, attack.
Especially since it can get very tedious after a while. This helps with grinding. I can see how this would totally help with grinding. And just, it speeds up a story that doesn't need to be as slow as it is.
Yeah. Here's another thing that I liked about this, is that the, like, architecture and stuff is, like, different comparative to, I'll say, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, you had your, in the first batch, you had your very traditional medieval-y sort of high fantasy.
Dungeon-y, yeah.
7 was more of a revolution, like
it's a steampunk-y.
Industrial revolution.
It's steampunk.
Steampunky.
It's steampunk.
Yeah, they work in.
It's that. Steampunk. You can't tell me it's not steampunk.
I'm not saying it's not.
Okay. Plus magic.
Plus magic.
God, well, that's fine. I know, but Falfuzzi has got to have magic.
So
just gotta.
Yeah, it's gotta. 10, I remember there's lots of ruins around because you're pretty much in a post-apocalyptic situation.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
This one I find very European, and I can see the influence of European politics, where they have pretty much fantasy France again, fantasy England, and you're pretty much situated in like fantasy Portugal / Middle East.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I really like the architecture in this. It's different, but I guess it's also just different because it's like the gameplay is different.
Yeah,
it's a different Final Fantasy. I think it's neat. You get your bunny lady Fran, and she's a really enjoyable character. Like,
she's cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of characters that I like. Like, Vaughn is unfortunate, but you can very quickly just like get rid of him from your main party.
You can shunt him under the carpet for a while,
which is fine. Like, if
he
you
still
like Vaughn
up.
Yeah, if you like Vaughn, fine. Like, he just, I remember when I played it, I was like, oh, these characters are better and I like them better.
He's essentially just a blonde Aladdin.
Yeah, that's a pretty good, yeah, he's just Aladdin but blonde, and he doesn't have a monkey, which is really too bad. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, too bad he doesn't have a little sidekick or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as I go along with that game, I'll come back to you with more because I'm sure this is going to hurt me emotionally. And
I have no idea. Like, it's fine.
We'll see how invested I get in the characters. But you and I ended up playing and finishing a game as well.
Yes.
That was very, very cool. But you need two electronics to play it.
Yeah, but there's a bunch. So it's called TikTok, A Tale for Two. And so it's the first game by Other Tales Interactive. And I think I want to say from Amsterdam.
I thought they were Danish.
Okay, one.
Yeah.
I get them mixed up. I apologize.
It's okay, because there was lots of Danish names and spellings and places.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
So this game is played, you have to have two people. You have to. It can be, I think it's a Steam game. I think it's also on the Switch, and it's on like your iOS, so...
So that's how we were playing it was.
Yeah, the iPad.
The iPads, because we both have an iPad.
Yeah. Wow. Technology. But it's a really neat, so one person gets player one, one player gets player two. And I think this is kind of genius because this does not require any link up. Like, it does require you to be able to, like, talk or communicate with the other person.
So there's no online approach to this. You do actually have to be in the same room or vicinity to each other.
Yes, what I said.
Yeah, exactly what you said. You could do it over Skype.
Yeah, you just have to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's, like, typing it out. Like, this is because you choose which player you are, so player one or player two, and each will get sort of different things. And each person solves puzzles with the help of the other person, sort of thing. And they'll help puzzle out other stuff.
You essentially have each other's answers.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah. And you're helping each other open up stuff so that you can have the answer to your stuff.
And
yeah.
This game does suggest that you two, like the two players, are able to look at each other's screens. You're not hiding it from each other.
No, you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. You are actually supposed to be working together. This is no competition at all.
It isn't competition, but you're not. It does say you're not supposed to let them see your screen.
I thought it was stating that you totally could.
No, you 100% misread that.
I totally did.
Yes.
Don't look at each other's screens.
Yeah.
Battleship this situation.
Well, it is because here's the thing. I think it's supposed to be sort of like you can solve it and you can sort of write stuff down. I think that's fine. But I think it'll make it sort of way easier or sort of take away something if you share really like that. Like, it is meant to play like Battleship, basically. But you are working together.
Yeah.
It's sort of under the impression that you are... Like, so the story plays out that you are two sisters, Larky and Amelie, I believe?
Yes.
And it sort of is about a little town and once was very prosperous and had a cool clock place, Raven's Clock. So,
and the clock place belongs to your family.
Because your last name is Raven, without an E. Maybe it's Raven? I don't know. Because there is a raven in it. There's literally, like, it. To be honest, I really liked the story. Like, here's the things we liked about, or maybe I'll point out maybe the couple things I didn't like first, just to level it, because I liked most of this game. We did have a problem where there was a bug, but it was fixed within a couple days.
And it was only on the player two side.
No, your side, who was player one, Megan.
Whatever side I was on.
Megan was player one, and there was a problem with player one.
It's fine if you update your game and update your system, and they did work it out.
Yeah,
they fixed it.
Yeah. It doesn't, you don't need to update anything. They fixed it is what, yeah.
If you were having this problem previously, go update your game now, please.
Yeah. Or just, like, restart your iPad or restart your system.
So you decide between the two of you who's going to be player one, player two, Amelie and Larky and the clocks and animals are going missing.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, it's a great way of telling a story, too. Yeah, this is also sort of why you're not supposed to let your other person see the screen, because you get different bits of information. Like, 100% you're supposed to tell the people the information, but it has, like, a way more interactive story element to it because... You know, there's elements where you have to sort of figure out the order of radio signals, and they sort of have different words or different
fragments of the story.
Yeah. And so you would get one and I would get the end piece, and that's sort of how it would start. And you get little bits of story, you get little bits of history. I love storytelling this way. Like, it's interesting.
And it was immensely satisfying when we both ended up solving puzzles that would otherwise be impossible without your second player.
Yeah, it's really cool. There were a lot of really, like, it's incredibly satisfying. I agree. What was the I didn't even get to finish with the other thing I didn't like, which was, like, I feel it's, what is it, a backhanded compliment, kind of? It was too short. Right? Like, I wanted more. That's basically kind of what it is. Like, you know, like, it was a little too short. It was only about three chapters.
And the game actually does measure how long it took for you to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, but I wanted to keep going, too. Because when we solved the last puzzle, it's like, seriously?
I guess the other thing was that we had sort of been stopped by the bug that stopped us, like, right before we almost beat it, kind of thing. So that would be my only, I don't know, problem with it, is that it was short. I wanted more, like, which it, I feel is really not the worst thing to be. I liked how most of it was handled, like the puzzles. It's see, and another reason why it's nice to have another person is because they see puzzles differently.
You'll go into the exact same locales. You'll have the same sort of situation laid out for you.
Yeah, well, your areas are the same, but there's different things in the places. Yeah.
So where I might see a barrel with a cage and a lizard skittering about, you will get none of that on the person's side.
I did not see a lizard.
No, you didn't, because I had to trap it.
Oh, yeah.
In order for you to get the answer for you to get to a post box to open a letter and then go to destroy the barrel that was there without the lizard.
Yeah, that's true. I did destroy a barrel. But yeah, there is a lot. And what I sort of also meant is like you having another person, you know, like I can look at a puzzle like 40 times and I'd be like, I don't get it. And then someone else can look at it and be like, oh. Because often the times we have similar things that we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you get it, and then I will sort of get it sort of thing. Or like once we were like, oh, well, we have to do this. Like,
I have the answer to this puzzle to turn on lights, and half the lights are for me and half the lights are for you. But you didn't get the clue that
half the lights are for you. Yeah.
And half the lights are for me.
Yeah.
And then that was one of the most satisfying puzzles, was to figure out that
the order of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spoil too much of the, like, how to solve the puzzles, because that's fun. You will need another person. But I feel like it looks pretty good. I like the puzzles. Like, there's some train puzzles that I absolutely, like, I really liked, because they were, like, very cryptic, and it's sort of one of those things where you don't know if that's the answer, and then you put it in and it's the answer and you're like, whoa, I'm so smart apparently.
I got the train.
But I really, yeah, this was a game that I really liked. Once again, wish there's more. I hope they come out with another game.
We talked right around New Year's about the Year Walk, which you had me play.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very, very similar.
In story-wise, like, it's a great little story, like, in general. Like, aside from the puzzles, which I really liked, and I like puzzles.
I feel there could have easily been more to the story that they just weren't telling us.
Well, sometimes, here's the thing, you have deadlines, and you gotta get something out when you gotta get something out. And there may, in the future, be a second one.
I hope so.
I would love it. Like, this is sort of the kind of, I love little games like this, especially, like, it's fun to play games with a person, 100%. And it sort of makes me want to go play more games with another person like this. Like, it wasn't really challenging, like, working with somebody like this.
No.
No, it was, and, yeah, it was fun. I like it.
There you go.
I, like, honestly really liked it.
So this is available for iOS and Steam for sure.
And I think the Switch.
And let's hope the Switch as well.
And it's basically, yeah, just as long as one of you, like, everybody, you don't need to have this, like, we didn't both need to have iPad versions. Like,
no.
You could have had the Switch version and I could have had an iPad version. You just need two people.
There you go.
I guess you could technically do it by yourself, but you would still need two things.
It'd be terrible by yourself. Like, so unsatisfying.
It'd be confusing.
Even if you had the walkthrough.
Yeah.
It's $3.99 on the iPad.
Which I thought was great. Like, here's the thing. It was $3.99, and I get that. Like, maybe if it was $6.99 and it was only that long, I'd be madder. But $3.99 for what we got is a pretty good deal and, like, a really neat experience.
Yeah, for sure. So, when I get back home, I'm going to start playing on the Switch again, because they've released a couple more games that I want to pick up. Around the beginning of the new year, I had started playing Star Tropics on the original Nintendo.
Yes.
And you were watching me a little bit play it.
Yeah, I can honestly not remember. I assume it's something that I've sort of seen. Like, I feel this is a very generic styled NES game that I've seen, like, 45 other kinds, sort of similar.
This one's...
It's slightly different. Well, I'm going to say they're all slightly different, Megan, but it's often a little child running around some kind of island, jumping over things. Maybe they shoot something. Maybe they step on things. Is this about the nest game I've described?
There was a dolphin.
Okay. Sometimes you ride animals. Can I add that?
There's a dolphin.
That's an animal.
As far as I got.
That's an animal.
Anyway, this is out now. I can finally play it without...
On the Switch online? Nintendo Online?
Yes.
No. Is what it's that... That's what the anagram...
Yes, thank you.
I got it. N-O. Sorry, I wasn't saying no to you. Sorry. No, you can't have it.
You shocked me there.
Sorry.
And I can finally play Kid Icarus, which I never had the chance to play as a kid.
Yeah.
Icarus.
I'm proud of you. I have no love for Kid Icarus. Sorry, buddy.
His name is
Pit, I believe. It's not actually
Pit.
Kid. Does he become Kid Icarus? I guess we'll find out.
It's because he has wings.
Oh.
Like Icarus.
I know, but that's not the best winged character to, like, associate yourself with. I was like, do you guys know what happened to Icarus? It wasn't great.
Too close to the sun.
I was like, maybe that's why his actual name is Pit.
There you go. Because that's where Icarus fell.
I guess.
Anyway, that was the ocean. And The Missing is out for the Switch right now, and it's currently on sale. So we'll take a look at that and see what's going to happen. And also Grim Fandango, if that's a thing that you want to play.
I like the Grim Fandango. I played through most of it once. But once again, it was one of those games where I like got stuck at a puzzle and I was like, will I lose integrity if I go on a walkthrough? Yes, but also I'm too lazy. Next video game.
So if they're coming out with Grim Fandango, they may come out with Psychonauts at some point, especially since the second one is getting there, and it means I can buy it for a fourth time.
It's fine. I have several copies of Psychonauts.
Yes,
like,
we do.
I have like a physical copy, and then like several. I have the Steam copy.
Same.
I have the PlayStation 3 copy.
And I have the PlayStation 4 copy.
I know.
We're covered on Psychonauts for now.
It's a fun game, guys.
It is, guys.
Like, if you don't have that one, like, honestly.
But if you like that humor, check out Grim Fandango.
That was a good one, too.
All right, everybody. I believe that's everything we got for you for this week. And we're going to go and play some video games.
Yep.
And keep slacking.
Bye.